The question was asked if there were communities that tried to institutionalize not having music at weddings. How does that fit in with commemorating the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash? So the Talmud tells us that there was a time after the destruction of the temple that there were people who weren't drinking wine, because they said, how can we drink wine? You know, they libated wine on the altar. So one of the rabbis, I think it was Rabbi Yeshua, who met them, and he said, well, tell me then, how are you eating meat? Meat was offered on the temple, on the altar. So he said, you're right, we should stop eating meat. So he said, okay, then how are you going to eat bread? Bread was also offered in the temple. And how you can drink water? Water was also libated on Sukkot. And, you know, if you take things too far, so then just don't dip it back in, okay?
I understood that.
And I think it just got wet. Okay, so no.
We're sophisticated in England, though.
Okay, so... they realized that he was telling them they went too far, so they asked him, okay, so what do you say? So he said, I say that life has to go on after the destruction of the temple, and we have to commemorate the destruction of the temple the way the prophet tells us, Beshir lo yishtu yain. We no longer drink wine and play music and make believe everything's beautiful. We don't get up and go to sleep like princes, listening to music as we get up and going to sleep with music and playing music when we drink at bars. And we don't do things that are like extra pleasurable. We don't do things to the extreme and ignore the fact that we're imperfect, that we're missing our temple. And at the same time, we don't say, now we can't enjoy life at all, and no drinking wine, and no eating bread, and no drinking water. We don't go to that extreme either. But on that Gemara, the Gemara in Gittin that discusses what limitations we did accept upon ourselves, so there are different understandings. Maimonides is of the understanding that you're not supposed to listen to music generally in life. The custom in Jerusalem was that when you had a wedding, you'd only have drums. You'd have no musical instruments other than drums. You'd have one guy playing a tambourine or the drums, and everything else was singing. People would sing, they'd rejoice. They wouldn't bring any other musical instruments in Jerusalem. They'd say, how could you be in the city where the city's not being rebuilt? You don't have a temple and you're going to play music? So if a community wanted to take upon themselves the stringency, and it was under the ordination of under the guidance of a rabbi who was big like the Chida's grandfather, so then obviously they had a halachic basis out of commemoration for the destruction of the temple for taking on such an institution for whatever reason. You know, when Mordechai Eliyahu Zatzal came to Chutz Lartz for a dinner banquet and he saw all the tables laden with silver and beautiful dishes and beautiful food, so he told the hosts, you know, he's sitting at the dais, he said to the hosts, I can't eat here. So they asked him, why can't you eat here? He said, because I feel it's like the feast of Nebuchadnezzar or Belshazzar. They were celebrating out in exile, the temple's destroyed, but they're sitting and eating on their gold dishes, everything's perfect, you know. What are we missing? We got everything. That's what I feel like when I sit here at this meal. Now, I can't partake of a meal like that. So obviously they weren't too happy, right? They just brought in the chief rabbi to partake of the dinner banquet. He's the guest speaker and he's saying he can't eat. So he said, Rabbi, well, what can we do that'll make you feel comfortable? So he said, take the tablecloth off of the dais. Here, up here at the dais, let us sit on a wooden table at least. Could you imagine that? Everyone's sitting at their fancy table, and at the dais they're sitting on a plain wooden table, no tablecloth. He said, then I'm willing to eat. So that's what they did. It doesn't say it anywhere. You know, it doesn't say you're not allowed to eat on a fancy tablecloth. But there's a certain spirit of the law. And it could be in that city, for whatever reason at that time, they felt that was their way of commemorating the destruction of the temple. So that's as far as that goes. There is a basis for minimizing our music, the amount of music we listen to. Obviously, you guys see, we all listen to music, we listen to tape recorders, we listen to Walkmans, we listen to MP3 players. Obviously, Maimonides' opinion was not accepted in Halacha. We do listen to music all the time in our lives, and that's fine. But if you have a community that decides they want to be stringent in that direction, so there is a basis for it. As far as can it be that the community just wanted to be like their neighboring Muslims, we don't have any aspiration to be like our neighbors. Quite the contrary. If it happens, I don't think it happens because the rabbi encourages the community to be
the
like the neighbors.
Was against it. The Ben Ishkar's grandfather was against it, and he successfully opposed it.
Okay, so it could be that there were people in the community that did not want it for the sake of commemorating the Beit HaMikdash, but they thought, hey, if the Muslims can do it, we can do it too. Just like there are all kinds of things like you're saying. There are times that people do try to be like their neighbors. I know when a person is deathly ill, so you have people who will try to bring in a rabbi to say the last confession with him. You don't need a rabbi there. There's a sitter. You take a sitter, and the person says, may it be the will of Hashem that Hashem should forgive me for all I've done, and my passing should be an atonement for what I've done, and I accept that Hashem is the creator, and I feel bad for everything I've done wrong. A person can say it himself. There's no need for a rabbi present. So people take a Christian concept, and they try to impose it on Judaism. It's not there. In Judaism, we say, when a person's sick, you don't leave him alone. You stay with him. When a person sees that he is not far from dying, so then it's a good thing to confess and to beg forgiveness from God and ask that his passing should be an atonement for his sins. Yes, but we don't have a concept that a rabbi has to be present there. Yeah, if it makes the person feel good, so we do anything to make the person feel good. But not because of the idea of his confession. A confession is between man and God. It's no one else's business. There are sometimes things where people will try to adopt a concept from a foreign culture, and then the rabbi comes and says, wait a second, this isn't Jewish. That's true. Yeah, sometimes that can happen. But in general, we assume that if a custom is accepted by a community who had a rabbi, we assume that the custom is a proper custom, and this is an example of a custom that might have some source of a basis. Obviously, the Chida's grandfather didn't feel it had enough of a basis to condone the custom. In general, we don't assume, if we see a custom, we don't assume, they were trying to be like their non-Jewish neighbors. That's not the first assumption that comes to mind. If the rabbi who opposed it said, hey, you're just trying to be like your non-Jewish neighbors, then he knows, you know, we believe him.
He didn't say that specifically, he said it was a really bad, the Ben Ishkar said it was a really bad.
Okay, you see, we don't accept this custom, but the idea does have some kind of basis. You know? Okay.